Well, last week we started this New Year series called Life. And you know, when we start the new year, the word we speak to everybody, the greeting, the blessing is Happy New Year. Nobody says disappointing New Year, lousy New Year. I mean, the cry, the longing of our hearts is that we want 2020 to be a happy new year, a flourishing new year, a blessed new year. That's what we like. That's what we prefer. That's what we want. But we also, because we've lived long enough, realize that it ain't always that way. And that indeed, life 2020 might be, for some of us, a season of disappointment. Life can be disappointing. Right? Some of you just heard that story of Hagar, and you're hearing about the word spoken about his kid, and you're going, I think I should have named mine Ishmael. You know? I mean, sometimes it's just like that, right? Life can be, life will be, it will have its moments, its days that you say, yeah, it was kind of disappointing today. But also on a more serious, deeper level, it can be a season of disappointment. And friends, Hagar's story exemplifies that life can have seasons. Life can surge with disappointment. And the beauty of her story, friends, is that it can be our story. We can allow this story to speak to us. We can find ourselves in her story. But I want to acknowledge from the get-go that there is a wide chasm of culture between the story of Hagar and our lives today. In Hagar's culture, the normative system was one of slavery. Okay? It was just the norm. And in the system of slavery, you hear it in the story, things that frankly are rather repulsive and should be repulsive to us. That there is the forced surrogate mother as Sarai, the slave girl, is given to Abram because Abram and his wife Sarai are unable to conceive. Now, that's pretty lousy. It is the cultural system of the ancient Near East, and it is the system in which God shows up in the messiness of it and reveals himself, and he moves in the midst of all that cultural mess. And you know what? God still does that today. But even though the cultural chasm between the ancient Near East and our Western individualism and individual rights, which we celebrate, this story still speaks richly to us. And so in the story we hear this, that Sarai, that's Abram's wife, so she's the matriarch in a patriarchal culture. She sees that Hagar has conceived. And if you read the story, Hagar gets a little uppity. She gets a little lippy. And Sarai, she takes offense. And because she's in the position of power, she deals harshly with Hagar. All right, she can do that. She is in a position of power over Hagar. So she deals harshly with Hagar. And Hagar's response to this oppressive system is that she says, I am running away. I'm getting out of here. This is disappointing. And here's the thing I want to say first and foremost here, is that disappointment and abuse are, what's the next word? Never God's plan or will, but a reality of living in a free but broken and not yet redeemed world. Okay? Now, honestly, I thought about, well, is disappointment, is that really never God's will? All right, and I'm open to maybe being shown wrong about that. But right now, I'm like, no. At least in 99.9% of the cases, disappointment and certainly 100% abuse, never God's plan or will. Because this is what happens. Stuff starts going south for us. Stuff sours on us. It's not what we thought it was going to be, and we're disappointed. And so here's what the narrative in our mind is. What did I do? What have I done to deserve this? What did I do that God is doing this to me? Okay? And folks, I want you to hear this. This is not God. Abuse is never from God. And believe me, as a pastor, I have served long enough, especially to hear women. And I remember a woman who literally prayed, God, forgive me that I am not able to take my beatings. Are you kidding me? But that was her narrative. She thought abuse was part of God's plan for her. And we were trying to minister to her and to help her to see that that is a lie. That's a lie that has been spoken into you by sinful people and systems. So we live in a broken world in which we have freedom and other people have freedom. And so we do things that, okay, that I shouldn't have done that. That did not work for me. And it's brought consequences that are disappointing. Or we live in a world where other people are free to do things and their stuff washes up on our shores and it's all disappointment, right? And then there can be systems that are set up that are good for me. They privilege me. They help me. But those same systems that help me create disappointment for other people. This is the world we live in. It is a good and beautiful creation of God, but it is broken. It is broken. And the Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans that this creation groans for the fullness of redemption. Okay, God is going to redeem this broken world. But it isn't fully redeemed yet. And we live in it. So that's kind of a backdrop of giving you a context theologically for this story. But then the story goes on. And I love this. The angel speaks to Hagar in the midst of her disappointment, what had to have been disappointing. I mean, she's running away. And the angel says, "Now you have conceived and shall bear a son. You shall call him Ishmael," which means God hears. "For the Lord has given heed to your affliction." The Lord has given heed to your affliction. And Hagar is hearing this. Hagar is having this encounter. She's hearing this. And her response is, "You are El Roy," which means God who sees. Now, can you imagine this? In this context, she is a woman who's the recipient of abuse. All of her circumstances are pretty sour, disappointing, and her response to it is, "I have got to get away from all this disappointment and abuse." So she runs. And she has this encounter with God. And God says, you've conceived, you're going to have a son, you're going to name him Ishmael, which will remind you that, you know what, God hears. God hears what's going on. And then she says, and you're Elroy. God, you see me. You ever felt like nobody sees me? I'm like invisible in all of this. I am the punching bag of other people. And nobody hears my voice. Nobody sees me. But friends, our God is the God of Ishmael, the God who hears. God is El Roy. It's one of the names of God, the God who sees. And then I love this. The story goes on and says, the well was called Beer Lahairoi, the well of the living one who sees moi. Me. Now, who is she? She's a slave. She is property of others. She is, in the system that she lived in, she was property, not humanity. She was a thing to be used as a surrogate. She was nobody. And she discovers, oh my gosh, not only does God hear, not only does God see, but God sees me. God is showing up in my context, amidst my stuff that is nothing but disappointing. God hears my story. God sees my story. And God shows up in my story. Does that not speak to us in our own 2019 and 2020 disappointments? And friends, God hears. He hears the cries. He hears the conversations. God sees the tears. He sees the frustration. He sees the anger, the anxiety. He sees the disappointment, the sense of abandonment and being alone, and that nobody sees me. God, Elroy. Ber Lahai Roy, the God who sees me. I am not alone. I am not alone. God sees, hears me, and is present with me. In my disappointments, therefore, I am not alone. I'm not abandoned. I am not isolated like Tom Hanks in Castaway. You know, I don't have to have a volleyball that I draw a face on to have community. God is present with me. And just coming out of Advent and Christmas, where we are reminded that one of the names of Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Or as one person said, and I love this, God in it with us. God with skin on, in it with me. I love this story. I love the story of Hagar because I can own it. It's my story. I find myself in it. And I find this as well in the story, that God is working on my behalf amid my disappointment. I mean, the angel of the Lord comes and speaks not only a knowledge and awareness of what's going on in her life, but he speaks about this child. Now, you got to swear in church today. He's a wild ass of a boy. Okay? It's like one of the one times you can cuss in church, right? All right? But if you read a little bit ahead of that, you know, the angel of the Lord says, you know what? I'm going to multiply your offspring. I'm going to create a nation out of this offspring. Hagar's going, are you talking to me? Do you know who I am? I'm a nothing. I am property. I'm not even human. I'm just something to be used and treated harshly. I don't even count. And God says, I don't buy into that false narrative. I don't buy into that lie. I see, I hear, I am present to you. I'm in your midst at work on your behalf. I'm going to create a great nation out of the very thing that you look at and say, what a catastrophe. I'm going to create a great nation out of you. God is working on Hagar's behalf. God is working on my behalf in the midst of my disappointments. That doesn't mean that I'm seeing it. But by faith, I can affirm that. That you are at work somehow. And I can pray that with tears and say, God, I don't see it. I know that it's there, but I don't see it. I'm like the dad who came to Jesus and said, my boy is sick. Will you come and lay hands on him and heal him? And Jesus says, do you believe I can do it? And I love the honesty of the Father. He says, I believe your Lord, but help my unbelief. I love his honesty. I believe, but help my unbelief. And Jesus does not say to him, well, you know what? You need to go home and work on your faith and then come back to me when you've really got faith and then I'll heal your kid. Jesus responds to him, acknowledging and affirming that that faith is faith. That I believe but help my unbelief is faith. And sometimes I'm that dad. Sometimes I'm Hagar and I will, in tears, whether figurative or literal, I am saying, God, I know you're here. I know you're with me. I know you're working, but I cannot see it, and I would really like to be able to see it. So give me eyes. Give me a word of encouragement that you are working, because right now I'm dying. That's life. That's disappointment at times. Because we can affirm by faith that God is present and at work on my behalf, in my midst. This is why we sing songs like we did this morning in this new song called Desert Song. All of my life, in every season, you are still God, the God of Ishmael. El Roy, Ber Lahai Roy, you are still God. And therefore, I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship, even in the desert. Now, so God is at work. God is present. He hears, he sees. But there's something else in this story that just is astounding to me. I love it, and yet I shake a little bit because of the challenge. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness. And this is what he says, Hagar, slave girl of Sarai, and then this, the question, where have you come from, and where are you going? So easy just to keep reading the story, but we ought to just stop right there, get out of our cars and our SUVs, put our hiking boots on and say, I need to walk and hike around these two questions. Where have you come from and where are you going? In our disappointment, God invites us to name rather than to numb our pain. And disappointment is painful. But in our disappointments, God invites us to name it. Don't numb it. Friends, can I tell you that in our American culture, we are very pain averse. Okay? I've got a cabinet in our home that has Aleve, Advil, Tylenol. Okay? We are very pain averse. And so we will medicate. It can be with pharmaceuticals, it can be with alcohol and other types of drugs. It can be I throw myself into my work. I'm going to find ways to just distract myself so that I don't have to think about the pain that I'm experiencing. I will find a way to numb it so I don't have to deal with it rather than to name it. And in naming it, I'm facing it. Now, do you remember doing this as a kid? How many balls can you hold underwater? I mean, that was kind of the game. I used to play it. Go to the North Canton Municipal Pool. And you might have a football, a volleyball, a basketball, a kickball, whatever it was. And all these guys are out there. We're trying to, hold. Hey, holding one under the water, not really a problem. Holding two, pretty manageable because you got two hands. You add a third ball and a fourth ball, and all of a sudden, you are expending an enormous amount of energy to try to hold those balls underwater. And what inevitably happens is this, that one of them is going to pop out. And this is what we do with our pain. This is what we do with the disappointments of life that have wounded us. By numbing it, we're trying to hold it under the water. And we expend enormous amounts of energy to keep the disappointments numbed. But eventually, awkwardly, stuff comes out. And it will come out in anger towards other people, short tempers towards others. It can come out in abusive, destructive relationships. Okay? It becomes toxic. And it hurts us, and it hurts others in our relationships. And so the angel shows up to Hagar and says, "Where have you come from?" Because remember, she's running away. She's wanting to numb it. God speaks to us, "Where are you coming from? What is the stuff that you're running away from? What are the disappointments? What are the people involved with that? What was the nature of the disappointment in the relationship with those people? What were the dreams that you had that now you look back and go, those dreams never happened, and here I am now? What was going on back then? What are the narratives associated with that dream? Did they have to do something with what it means to be successful? And those dreams never happen, and so I'm not successful. And if I'm not successful, then there are important people in my life who think less of me. Where have you come from? Where have you come from? And where are you going? Where are you going? So many people, where they're going is just, I'm just trying to keep the baggage that I have of disappointments. I'm trying to keep them numbed. I'm exerting all this energy to keep them under control and just make it. And yet we have a God who says, "My desire for you is to flourish." And so the lyrics of one of the songs we sang, open the eyes of the blind. Let the lame walk again. I mean, all this language, all this imagery of a God who heals, a God who sets free, a God who brings wholeness and flourishing so that we're just not making it, but we have life, abundant and eternal. Where have you come from? What's going on with those disappointments? What are they doing to you? And where are you going? What are you going to do with that? It's all about your future. It's all about our future. Where are you going? And there's more about Hagar's story, because she goes back to Abram and Sarai. She goes back, right? And there's another point where after Ishmael is born, where she runs away again with her kid. She says, I just can't take this anymore. So there's more to the story. But God shows up and meets her in Genesis 21 again to remind her, I hear, I see, I am present with you. I'm working on your behalf amidst the stuff of life. And her story is recorded, and we have it. All these millenniums later, we have her story that encourages us in the midst of our disappointments and even abuse to realize, I am not alone. I'm not alone. El Roy is my God. The God of Ishmael is my God. And maybe I have some places and experiences in my life that I can name Ber Lahai Roy. This is my Ber Lahai Roy moment. The God who sees me. And that has built my faith. It has strengthened my faith, so that I can navigate these disappointments and ask the hard questions of where have I come from and where am I going? And am I going to invite God, the Holy Spirit, into that time of questioning and working through my baggage and navigating my future? Let's pray. So I offer this prayer. I'm inviting the musicians if they'd come. God, thank you. Thank you that your word, the Holy Scriptures, this beautiful library of books does not whitewash life, but rather acknowledges the beauty and the brutality of life. And so, God, we thank you for the story of Hagar that speaks to us about the fact that life can be disappointing. And so, Lord, for all of those who right now, this early in 2020, are living in a season of disappointment, and for any in this new year who will, Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to them and to each one of us of this amazing woman, Hagar, and her story of disappointment of an amazing God who found her, who saw her, who valued her, who worked on her behalf. Oh, God. Come to those in disappointments right now. Let them reach out in faith and claim you as El Roy. God, let this be a moment, and let there be moments in this coming week where they say, oh my gosh, this is my Ber Lahai Roy moment right now, where I realize that God sees me. God sees me. I'm valued. I am that important that the God of the universe sees and knows me and knows my condition of life. Oh, Holy Spirit, come to them. Come to them. And Lord, for each of us. Even in this new week, come and in your love for us, challenge us with those two incredible questions. Where have you come from? Where are you going? And come as our liberator as we wrestle with those questions. Come as our healer. Come as the one who breaks oppression, who sets the captive free. Come as light into the dark places of our life. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring healing, wholeness, and flourishing. This we pray in the name of Emmanuel, God who is with us, Jesus, our Savior. And all of God's people said, Amen.